Hey, everybody, this is Heidi St. John. Welcome to America's Town Hall, and we've got a very special episode for you today. Recently, I was up in Longview, Washington for a town hall, and we had lots of people show up and lots of topics came up. And my friend, Representative Jim Walsh, was there to give us a legislative update from Olympia. This is a great episode. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoy it. We're going to try to fill this area up because I'm going to direct most of the questions this way. And then if we need to, we can do some overflow seating.
Final passage of Section House Bill 1724.
Can you guys hear that? He's on the floor right now.
Hang on, the speaker's about to open the roll call machine.
This is really
cool. Well, we're trying to prevent worse things from happening here in Olympia. We're on the floor tonight, probably late, probably till after midnight. Because we're at the first House of Origin cutoff deadline. It's coming up Monday. So, I mean, this is the battle. I mean, what we need to do is we need to get to a place where we're not in the minority and we're not playing defense all the time. And what this November can bring us all, Heidi, is the chance to get the gavels, as they say, get the majority in the legislature so that we can actually put good policy forward instead of just playing defense against bad bills.
Yep, and there are a lot of bad bills right now, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what just today we had a couple of bad ones. We had some attempts to undo the initiative process. We had some attempts to, of course, the gun control bills. We had a pretty bad abortion bill to expand that, you know, less that people other than doctors can perform abortions. I mean, they're pushing on all fronts. It's bad.
Yeah, it is bad. So, Jim, what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to welcome everybody. First of all, you got a good full room here. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to do this in a traditional town hall. So you're wearing the new hat. That looks good on you. Good job sporting the hat back there. We're going to go ahead and do this in an old-fashioned town hall style. So that means we're going to bring up issues, but you're welcome to also change the topic. You can bring something up on your own. You can ask questions. And then Representative Walsh and I are going to do our very best to help kind of give you updates and guide the conversation about what's happening in Washington State and obviously with my run for the U.S. House of Representatives. But Representative Walsh is absolutely right. We have got to change the narrative. If we're constantly playing defense, we're never going to move this nation forward. We've got to go on offense. That's what Jim is doing there tonight, playing defense, and he'd rather be playing offense. So I'm going to take just a moment. I'm going to open us up in prayer. And then actually, first of all, you guys give Representative Walsh a hand and welcome him here, would you? They love you, Jim. They're crazy about you, baby.
Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks.
This is great. I'm going to go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us in this nation, the greatest nation on the face of the earth, to determine our own destiny through electing people to represent us who will actually do good things for the people that you love here. Lord, I pray tonight for what's happening on the floor of the House of Representatives. I pray for Representative Walsh, Lord, as he's really up there just, you know, batting away all these terrible bills and trying to play defense. Lord, I pray that your hand would be on him, Lord. We pray that this bad legislation would not pass and that you would help us to regain control of the House and the Senate again, Lord, and for goodness, and the governor's seat, and the presidency, and all of it, Lord, we need your help. So I thank you for these men and women who have come out here tonight. I pray that this would be a productive evening and that we would leave feeling encouraged, Lord. I thank you that your word says that you have plans not to harm us, but plans to give us a hope and a future. And so tonight, as we talk a little bit about what that looks like, I invite you, Holy Spirit, just encourage us and help us tonight as we talk about these things in Jesus' name. Jim, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, Heidi.
Okay, so what I wanted to do, I'm just going to start with you since I don't know when you're going to be available and when you're not. Give everybody a little bit of an update. What are you doing there tonight and kind of what's going on? Because there were still people walking in when we were doing our sound check a minute ago.
Thanks. What's going on tonight is we are on the floor, the virtual floor. Most of us are here at the Capitol. Well, maybe half of us are here at the Capitol. But most of us are participating on Zoom. So I'm double dipping. I'm multitasking on Zoom.
Good job.
Talking to all of you and voting and debating on the floor. The reason we're here late tonight, we've been here till midnight the last couple of nights, is we're coming up to the first hard deadline of the legislative session in Olympia. All bills have to be out of their chamber of origin by Monday. So the speaker is kind of desperately putting through many of the bills that she's been the most uneasy about, some of the worst bills for the last few days. And that's typical of how this speaker, and again, this is the Olympia speaker, Jenkins, operates. So we're voting. I mean, we're debating and voting. Like we've been saying, I mean, we're mostly playing defense, trying to make bad bills less bad, and then just trying to put down the bad, really bad bills that we can't fix, and just voting no and banging our pots and pans when we can't fix them and we can't stop them. We got to get control of these legislatures. We got to get control of the Congress in D.C., and we've got to get control of the House of Representatives in Olympia. And then we can start flipping the script and promoting what's good, not just fighting what's bad.
Yeah. I've got a question for you. You know, Jim, you and I were talking about this a few days ago because we were both in PL with the students there doing a walkout. And there are a lot of people that feel discouraged, and they say, it's Washington State. We're never going to take back Olympia. We don't have a snowball's chance of doing it. What say you?
Well, that's wrong. We have, from time to time in recent history, gotten control of the legislature in Olympia. We did it in 1994. We nearly did it and got control of the state Senate in 2010. And we're due for another one of those waves in 2022. Mm-hmm. You know, as you've seen, a lot of people consider this election a wave election. And I think that thinking is going to be right.
I agree. I want to talk really quickly about the bills that have already been killed. The dead bills, it looks like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them so far. How does it, I'm trying to just teach people about the legislative process. So how does a bill die? So why are these bills dead? I noticed one of the ones I was banging my pots and pans about was Senate Bill 5337, which would have changed compulsory school education requirements for children 5, 6, and 7 years of age. Right now, for those of you who don't know, compulsory education age in Washington is 8 years old. This was the first time, Jim, that I have seen in a long time they added the language of homeschooling to this bill. They wanted to include the homeschoolers in it, which is, you know, makes me 100 different kinds of angry. But it was a bad bill from the get-go, because right now the compulsory age is 8, and it's great. It's working just fine. If it's not broke, don't break it. But, you know, that's what the Democrats like to do. I noticed that bill is dead, meaning it didn't make it out of the Senate. How does that happen?
Well, I mean, what happens is these bills have to go through committees first, where they get the hearings, and that's where people can speak, and, you know, even if it's just for a minute, people can speak to the qualities of a bill, whether they like it or they don't like it. And then there's a committee vote. And if the bill succeeds in the committee vote, it goes on to the floor of the chamber for a general vote. So there are multiple levels at which a bill can be amended, can be fixed to become less bad, or just killed. And where that bill stands at the moment is it never got out of the committee and onto the floor of the Senate. Now, I have to caution everyone. While there are these deadlines and there are these thresholds at which if a bill doesn't get through the committee or onto the floor for a vote, it is supposedly dead. But the truth is the Speaker of the House and the other leadership have immense power and can bring a so-called dead bill back to life as long as the session's on. And they have various parliamentary tricks they can use to do that. And so don't count your chickens it's possible that any bad bill might reappear the last few days.
Yeah, we wouldn't put it past him. We've seen him do it before.
Right, we have.
Yeah. Really quickly, I don't want to take too much. I want to give the people a chance to ask you questions before you have to go. What are the bills that are, because I'm looking at a whole list of them right now. What are the bills that are the most concerning to you that have already passed the first house, either the Senate or the House? What are the ones that are, you know, I'm looking at firearm safety. I'm looking at attempts to limit our Second Amendment freedoms. We're looking at all kinds of things. What are the most concerning ones to you at this moment?
Well, there are a bunch of bad bills around public safety, you know, what the police can do and can't do. We've actually kind of turned the tide on that issue a little bit. And the majority is a little bit on the in a defensive crouch there. Mm-hmm. And so now we're trying to get on in the bills that are still alive are more fixes, more improvements. So that's actually a bright spot. I mean, we might not get all we want, but we are heading the right direction on some of the law enforcement and public safety issues. One of the concerns that I have is that we aren't going to get a separate issue is putting some limits on the governor's emergency powers. And right now I'm concerned that we aren't going to get the fixes we need there. So that's something we're working on to try to fix the one remaining bill that addresses that issue.
That's Senate bill. That's 5909, correct?
Correct. That's still alive. It's very weak. So we're trying to fix it by amendment to make it a stronger set of limits on the emergency powers.
And do you feel like you have
those
support?
Those are actually both situations where we're making some good headway.
Good. Do you have support from any of the Democrats to limit the governor's power right now?
A few, and very quiet, and we're trying not to overplay our hand with them. But yes, we do have some support to improve the limits on the emergency powers. The governor has been bad, even to his own side. And there is frustration with the governor on the part of at least some of the legislators from his own party. Mm. So we don't want to out them. You know, we don't want to put them in the spotlight too much, but we want them to be there when we need them to vote on the amendments to make that bill better. And I think we might have some success there.
So I've got a question for you about House Bill 1851. It's already passed the House. For those of you who are not familiar with this bill, first of all, I noted, Jim, that the statutory references to women, they no longer call women anymore. If you are pregnant, you are now a pregnant individual. This is the language of the bill as it is right now. This would preserve a pregnant individual's ability to access abortion care. The list of providers statutory authorized to terminate pregnancy would be expanded to include physician's assistant, et cetera. You know, the checker from Walmart, he can say, yeah, abortion sounds like a good idea to me. What do you think about this? What are the chances of this passing the Senate?
We did a little bit. We got a little bit of a fix on there, Heidi. We were able to at least say, change the language about pregnant individual to women or pregnant individuals.
There we go. That's what we're talking about.
It's not much, but it was a small improvement.
So now we're actually going to tell the truth that only women can give birth. Only women can get pregnant. But we still want to let the checker at Walmart tell you it's okay to go get one. Right.
Yeah, that's the real problem is expanding the number of people who can authorize. And that's a serious matter. I'm concerned it might get through the Senate. But we are working the Senate members that we know both have a conscience and are up for election this November, that this is an expansion that really isn't women's health. It opens the aperture too wide, as it were, for who can be involved in approving an abortion and the use of government money to pay for the abortion. So we need to fight this, and I don't know. I think it's probably a 50-50 shot whether it goes to the Senate or not.
So that is a matter for prayer for those of you who are praying. That's a serious issue. I have another question for you, and then I'm going to open it up to the audience. So I want you guys to be thinking, Sam's going to have the microphone here. But I want you to be thinking of a question for Representative Walsh while we have him on the line. By the way, Jim Walsh is a local treasure. I hope you guys are praying for him and encouraging him every chance that you get. Jim, I'm wondering, you know, we look at all these bad bills and it's so easy to be discouraged and it's so easy for us just to throw our hands up in the air and just give up, right? If we take back the House and the Senate and we're looking at this litany of bad legislation that they've been passing now for several years because the Democrats have a supermajority in Olympia right now, if we can take back the House and the Senate, how quickly can we undo some of these bills?
It will happen very quickly. Some of these policy points that we've gotten into, it's taken 20 years of bad bills to get into. Those take a little bit longer to unwind. But other things like school choice, like improving the discretion that law enforcement officers have to enforce the law, like limiting governor's emergency powers, we can do that in the next session. So we could do that coming up in early 2023.
Does that motivate you guys to vote? Does that motivate you to get out there? He's saying that if we can flip the House and the Senate, we can undo this garbage. And I'm hoping it motivates us to work harder. All right, I'm going to go ahead and take questions. Jim, is it all right? Can we do some audience questions?
I could go for another couple of minutes.
Okay, yeah. Real quick, right here.
Hey, Jim. So, there's already been a lot of movement from left states like New York and things like that to do the endemic is what they call it. But as far as I'm concerned, these are issues that should have never happened in begin with and are unprecedented. And so it's like, okay, well, we're just going to sweep COVID under the rug. That was all part of our past. Do you think that there's more support available to get Democrats involved when kind of the hot button issues kind of pass? Hopefully that kind of makes sense.
Yes, there is. I think there's a lot of pent up frustration, and I think that's part of the reason that everyone's predicting that this is going to be a wave election. So again, it's the kind of thing, it's sort of like when I'm saying, talking with those Democrats, we want to come to our side on the executive powers issues. We don't want to put people in a hard spot. We just want them to vote this November as their inclinations tell them. And then once that happens, we will do more with the trust they put in us to run good policy than the other side thinks we can do. I mean, we've been sitting on good bills, good government reforms, but 30 years in Olympia, for a decade in D.C. So we know the policy points. We have the bills drafted. We just can't get them out of the committees and onto the floor. So, I mean, give us a couple of terms, and I promise we will not be a do-nothing legislature. We will get right to work. I mean, look at what's happening in the state of Virginia already with the new governor and the new legislative majorities they put in Virginia. They are hitting the ground running, and they're just supporting school choice, and they're supporting law enforcement in ways that state hasn't seen in decades. We can do the same here.
Jim, that was awesome. Do you have time for one more, or do you need to run?
Sure, one more.
One more. Okay, right back here. State your name so Jim can't see you.
Hi, Jim. This is Elliot Downing. I was curious if there's any possibility on limiting the governor's powers that you could have the representatives veto his mandates within their districts because it doesn't represent their people necessarily.
Sure. That's what we're working on right now. Now, the only bill we have that's still in the process is this weak Senate bill, 909. But we are going to run a number of amendments, including the language from House Bill 1772 that would allow the legislature to veto, override a governor's emergency proclamation. So that is, we have that language. The question is, can we get enough support for that amendment? And that's the kind of behind the scenes, you know, negotiating and soft selling we're doing right now. But that is one of our key definitions of what constitutes real limits on the governor's powers. So we're absolutely working on it. Can we get it? I don't know. We'll know a lot more in about 3 weeks.
Wow. All right. Representative Jim Walsh, you are a treasure for this area. We thank you so much for being. You guys say thank you to Jim.
I'm really sorry I can't be there, Heidi. I really wanted to be there, but you're doing a great job and keep it up. And I know that crowd loves you, and you'll have a great night. I'm really sorry I'm not there.
Thank you. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for fighting for us. We appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. Good night,
Bye,
Jim.
Bye, everybody.
Well, I hope that was helpful for you. If you guys have topics that you would want to see discussed at America's Town Hall, just go ahead and leave that note at the website for us at Heidi St. John for Congress. We want to hear your ideas and your suggestions, and we want to hear your voice. That's part of representative government, is to listen to the voices of the people and have conversations out in the open. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I'll see you back here again at America's Town Hall.